Our singer is Alec Morrison of Los Angeles. We're very grateful to him for his contribution to this program. This is John Walden, Colorado Springs. And we have come now to the study of one of the kings named Josiah. We find his story in 2 Chronicles 34. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, age 16, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they broke down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he broke in pieces, and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them, and he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. Now this last act of his was prophesied 300 years before he was born. You read this back in 1 Kings chapter 13. When Jeroboam stood at the altar that he had built in Bethel, the first wicked king of Israel, burned incense, the prophet, the man of God, cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. Now this prophecy was fulfilled literally 300 years later. This is a little proof, if you need any more proof, of the truth of the Word of God. There is simply no way to explain these miraculous prophecies given so many 100 years before they actually were fulfilled. So here is a boy who was named 300 years before he was born. Perhaps his mother told him about this when he was little. Anyway, this boy turns to God at an early age. My, what potentials for good or evil there are in a young child. He could either take after his ancestor David, or he could be like his grandfather Manasseh. Well, he decides that he wants to know the Lord. Now, the Bible says, the Lord Jesus' own words, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. This does not mean baptism. Baby baptism is not taught in the Bible. I have no quarrel with any church that wants to teach it. But I insist that they must not say that it is found in the Bible. The Lord does not ask you to baptize your babies. He asks you to lead your children to know the Lord while they're still young. Teach them the gospel. Teach them about the Savior. I received Christ at an early age, and I know that many, many more have. I don't know that this boy had to wait till he was 16. Perhaps I'm talking to some youngster just now listening to the radio. Why don't you take the Lord Jesus just now? And I'd like to ask the rest of you, when did you begin with God? Do you remember a time when you received the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior? Well, now, if you can say yes to that, then I want to ask you another question. When did you begin to serve the Lord? When did you begin to realize that God had something for you to do? Well, you say, I was just never called to the ministry. Ah, but you're mistaken, brother and sister. All Christians are called. All Christians are given something to do for God. I cannot work, I dare not work my soul to save. That work my Lord has done, but I would work like any slave for love to God's dear Son. And if you really know the Lord, He's got a job for you to do. Now, Josiah's job was divided up into negative and positive things that had to be done. First of all, there were some things that had to be cleaned out. He had to clean out the groves, the carved images, the idols. He had to clean out the filthiness that went with idol worship. And you and I need to clean a few things out of our lives. Some of these bad habits that we've carried over from the old way of living, some of our evil associations, how do you spend your time? What about these so-called amusements? The word amuse means not to think. Do you think that God wants you to spend your time not thinking? Do you think that God wants you to spend your time and your money the way you've been spending it? Let's get rid of a few of these things in our lives that we know are weights around our necks, that hold us down, that hinder us from usefulness. And then there was a positive side to it. He collected the money that should have been brought in long before to repair the temple, and he gave it to the workmen. They wrought in the house of the Lord. They repaired and mended the house. The men did the work faithfully, the overseers did their job well, and the whole thing was set forward, and the bearers of burdens and the musicians and the scribes and the officers and the porters and all the rest of them were brought into their place, and the whole thing was set up as it should have been. Now, God has given you certain directions of things that He does want you to do. We don't want to be negative Christians. Simply don'ters, simply don't do this and don't do that, but the Lord has told us some things He'd like us to do. For instance, the Lord has told you that He wants you to tell the gospel story to others. Did you tell anybody yesterday? Did you tell anybody this last week? Don't tell me you're not a minister and that isn't your job. It is the job of every believer to tell about the Savior. He's given us the job of praying for one another. Do you have a list of Christians for whom you pray, and do you pray for them faithfully? He's given us the privilege of supporting the work of the Lord. Are you exercised about this? God has given us a job to do. Now, the most wonderful thing in the life of Josiah was the discovery of the Book of God. This had been lost, just as the Book of Deuteronomy said would happen if they neglected it. And Hilkiah, the priest, when he was cleaning up the temple, came across this book. And so he gave it to Shaphan, the scribe, and Shaphan read it to the king. When the king heard what was written in this book, and the judgments that were pronounced, and he realized that he and his people had been guilty of these sins, he tore his garment. That was a way of showing their grief. And he ordered it to be read to all the people, we're told in verse 30. They got all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small, and read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. So the great revival in Josiah's time had to do with the book. They got back to the book. Oh, this is what we need in our day. We need to get back to the book. You know what book I mean. What book is there but the Bible? We need to read it. We're not reading it like we ought. We need to read it to our children. If you don't have a regular time in your family when you read the Bible together, then by all means get it. When I was only 9 years of age, my father got us boys started reading the Bible through once a year. It isn't hard at all. You read 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday, and you get through the Bible easily in a year. And better yet, you can read 2 chapters in the Old and 2 chapters in the New Testament each day, and then you get through the whole Bible every year, plus an extra time through the New Testament. Oh, I'd like to see God's people get back to the book. This is what we need in our meetings together as Christians. We need to get back to the Bible. Those who preach should be preaching more of the Bible and less of all the rest of this rubbish. What we need to do is to govern our church order by the Bible. Instead of just saying, well, my folks have always belonged to this church, and so naturally I belong to it, we ought to examine these things in the light of the Word of God and find out whether we belong where we are or not. Let me ask you, what does the Bible mean to you? Can you say, like the Old Testament saint, that he desired it more than his necessary food? Well, we ought to. Well, revival resulted. There was a renewal of the covenant. They kept the Passover. The Passover was the memorial feast, you know, that reminded them that Christ had died for them. The lamb, really, was what was offered in sacrifice, the Passover lamb. But this was all a picture of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 5. And so we have a memorial feast, too, as believers, which we don't keep once a year, but we have been asked to keep it once a week. Remember the Lord on the first day of the week. Revival will result in our getting back to the simple New Testament pattern. And if you don't want to do these things, you certainly need to be revived. And then, according to verse 8 of the 35th chapter, it resulted in liberal giving. These people gave willingly. And always this goes with real revival. And then we mustn't overlook the singing. They got together to sing the praises of the Lord. It makes people happy to be right with God. You'll never know any real joy, real peace, until you trust Christ as your Savior. And when you have trusted Him as your Savior, the way to know continual joy and peace, I don't say this will necessarily be the effervescent kind of bubbling up sort of thing, but a deep, settled peace and joy. The real way is to be obedient Christians. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We become the children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus, and in being obedient children, we can be happy children. Let's give Him thanks. Our blessed Lord Jesus, we thank Thee for giving Thy life to redeem us. We thank Thee, Father, for bringing us to Thyself. And we thank Thee for Thy Word. We pray that we may appreciate it and value it and read it and study it. Take our thanks in the name of the Savior. Amen.